Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Today's message is from the Summer Revelation series. This is part two of What Did Jesus Say to the Church? Now here's Pastor Steve.
After the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God allowed a period of time in history for the Gentile or non-Jewish population to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior from sin. This is referred to as the church age. The early church was a predominantly Jewish church, and most Jews rejected Christ. So God sent Paul with the gospel to the non-Jews. In Acts chapter 9 and 15, the Lord told Ananias, who had heard about Saul, he said, "Go pray for Saul, for he is my chosen instrument to take a message to the gospels, to the Gentiles, and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel." And in Acts chapter 13 and 46, Paul fulfills this call. Listen to what he says in this portion of scripture. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and declared, "It was necessary that we preach first the word of God to you Jews." Every place he went to the Jewish synagogue first. The Bible says to the Jew first. However, when they continued to reject Jesus Christ and blaspheme Jesus Christ, Paul says here, "But since you have rejected it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will offer it to the Gentiles. For the Lord gave us this command when he said, 'I have made you a light to the Gentiles to bring salvation to the farthest corners of the earth.'" The word of God is revelation that continues to be revealed, because in the Old Testament, even though God stated it, many of the Jews felt Gentiles would never be saved. They would never go to heaven. How could God do that with these heathen? But with the death of Jesus Christ, they began to see God was for all humanity. Aren't you glad about it? And when they rejected Jesus Christ, God had already decided to go to the Gentiles and to the non-Jewish population, and he used the Apostle Paul to do it, and Peter. Now, lest you think God has given up on the Jews, that is not the truth. This time, called the church age, is the time for all of the non-Jews to come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The Bible says it's the time for them all to come in, and then that's when the world is going to change. Talking about the Jews, though, God has a spiritual covenant with Israel and the Jews that goes back to Abraham. And this is so important for you to understand. You see, he promised them the land of Israel. And this is something that in the Middle East, they're still fighting over there. They're debating it. They are unsure. The scripture clearly tells us that God gave Israel, the land of Israel, the place of Jerusalem to the Jews. So let me read that for you. In fact, let me say this, Jerusalem will be the place where Jesus Christ reigns with his millennial kingdom, that thousand-year kingdom. But now listen to Genesis chapter 17 and 7, because God told Abraham, listen to what he said, "This is the everlasting covenant that I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you." Now listen to what he says next, verse 8. "And I will give the entire land of Canaan, where you now live as a foreigner, to you and your descendants." That's the land of Israel. "And it will be," listen, their possession forever, and I will be their God. Now, why are they fighting so much for that piece of land? It's a spiritual war. The devil does not want Jesus Christ to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. He does everything he can to thwart the will and the plan of God. And so he has raised up war to stop Israel from living in the land, to attempt to stop Jesus from coming to the land, to becoming the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over all the world from that location. Look at somebody next to you and ask them, did you know that Jesus will reign over the world in Jerusalem? Let me read it. Write this down, Isaiah 24 and 23. It says, then the glory of the moon will wane and the brightness of the sun will fade. For the Lord of heaven's armies, that's Jesus, will rule on Mount Zion. He will rule in great glory in Jerusalem in the sight of all the leaders of his people. So although most Jews may be rejecting Christ now, God will never forsake the nation of Israel. And the Bible actually says all Israel shall be saved. That's found in Romans chapter 11 and 26. Now, what was Christ's message to the churches? These seven churches comprise seven methods of attacks by Satan on the church or individual Christians that we should note so that we can examine ourselves. Satan always attacks our human nature, whether it's our emotions or through fear, our desire, our self-will. He is always attacking us. And the first church that Jesus addressed was the church of Ephesus. And I say it represents the backsliding church. In Revelation 2, verses 1 to 4, it says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and they are not, and you have found them to be liars. And you have preserved and you have had patience and have labored for my name's sake, and you haven't become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've lost or left your first love. Now, what is first love? First love is their devotion to Christ that is often characterized as those who are new believers. When people come to know Jesus Christ, generally they are fervent in their faith. They're more personal with God. They're excited to be with the Lord. They display overwhelming love and loyalty. And the church of Ephesus, even though they had a lot of works, they had lost that. You see, labor and works is no substitute for love. I could go into that with marriage, but I'm going to leave that alone. It's important for us to realize purity is not a substitute for passion toward God. See, it's not your works that God is looking for. He's looking for your love. It's not your purity. Yeah, he requires it. But he wants your passion. Your passion for him. It's a personal relationship. We always say that accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, it's not religion. It's a relationship. You need to understand that when you come to Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, and you come to the Father, you become a part of his family. You become a child of God. It's about relationship.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a quick look at the messages coming your way on the radio ministry this week and in this Sunday service.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. As we continue our series in the book of Revelation, the Bible reminds us to read and study this book because it will impart a divine blessing. Revelation chapter 1 and 3 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses the one who listens to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. While on earth, Jesus was asked by his disciples concerning the time and the details of his second coming. And this is what he said in Mark chapter 13 and 32. No one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. However, Bible prophecy reveals that we are living in the season of Christ's soon return. Keep listening daily to the programs every day to understand what that means to you and your family. I would like to invite you this Sunday to Spirit Life Church. I am sure that God will speak to you and his presence will be so real. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
We will be airing these informative messages on the book of Revelation over the next few weeks. Be sure and join us daily right here on KDKR. And we encourage you to be with us at the church for our uplifting live service every Sunday morning at 10. The church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. If you would like more information about our ministry, be sure and check out the website at aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Let me ask you a question. What are you willing to give up for Christ? I'm glad our young people are here today because they need to hear this. What are you willing to give up for Christ? Church in Ephesus had lost their first love. They had wandered away from their passion for God. But what are you willing to give up for Christ? Are you willing to give up immoral relationships? There's a lot of that going around. Are you willing to give up alcohol? Are you willing to give up vaping, drugs, intimacy before marriage, same-sex attraction, lying, profanity? See, because you have to give up all of those things to make heaven. It's so unfortunate we don't hear messages that get right in our face and tell us about our sins. There will be no sinners in heaven. That means sinning must stop here and now. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, it says, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of heaven? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sins, or those who put people and things before God, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or those who are thieves, or greedy people, or people who drink to excess, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of heaven. Don't fool yourselves. Don't think you can be a Christian and indulge in these things and God will look the other way. And then when he's letting those who are his children walk into heaven, that he's going to turn to the left and you will sneak in. It's not going to happen. We all come the same way. Through the name of Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, through the obedience of following the scriptures. Let me quickly begin to talk about the second church and the second method that Satan uses to attack the church. It's persecution. I just asked the question. I'm going to ask it again in a different way. How much are you willing to give up for Christ when you're persecuted? The second church was the church in Smyrna. I call it the persecuted church. Listen to what Jesus said to the church in Smyrna about the church in Revelation 2 and 8. He says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your tribulation, your suffering, and your poverty, but you're rich. I know the blasphemy of those who are opposing you. They say they're Jews, but they are not, because they are of the synagogue that belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you a crown of life. Anyone who has an ear to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Smyrna, the city of Smyrna, was a wealthy city. It was the commercial center of Asia Minor. Its streets were wide and actually paved. It was the direct trade route from India and Persia to Rome. And Smyrna was an important center for the imperial cult during the Roman period. The church in Smyrna faced opposition from the government of Rome due to their refusal to participate in emperor worship. And we talked about that last time. This was a time where you worship the emperors of Rome. They were your god. You had to give them incense and you had to give offerings on the altar and you had to call them Lord. And of course, this was a conflict with the scriptures. So as a result, Christians endured poverty. That was a part of the persecution. The emperor worship led Christians to losing their homes and their property and their wealth. They were also expelled from local trade guilds, resulting in the loss of jobs and economic opportunities. But Jesus Christ offered no criticisms of this church. They were faithful in spite of their suffering. Jesus speaks to the comfort of the church in Smyrna under this persecution. He reminds them that death is the entrance into eternal life, and that no one actually dies, because we're spirit beings. And when you step out of this house, you step into your eternal house that God has prepared for you. Can we thank God that we have an eternal house that has already been prepared for us? Bottom line, Christians have been persecuted down through the centuries. In fact, it's been estimated that 70 million Christians were martyred for their faith since Jesus walked the earth. 70 million. Let me read to you some other information. In the summer of 2014, ISIS waged a bloody blitz through Iraq, crucifying, beheading, raping, torturing, forcibly converting to Islam, and driving out every member of the 2,000-year-old Christian community. Christian girls were sold into slavery. Ancient churches were burned, and ISIS attacked dozens of other Christian towns in Syria. The beheading of Egyptian Coptic Christians in 2015, there were 21 of them on the Libyan beach. And some of you may even remember the picture that they put in the newspaper about this. It was videotaped as well by ISIS. They cut their throats. It was an iconic symbol of this wave of persecution that threatened to eradicate Christianity in the Middle East, and many in the West, even Christians, remained unaware of the scale of the great persecution against the church. This was indicative of the church in Smyrna. This is the type of suffering and persecution they were going through. But Jesus, even while he was here on earth, He taught his followers, do not fear those who threaten to kill you for your faith. In Matthew 10 and 28, he said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill your soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both body and soul and put you in hell. In other words, don't fear man, fear God. And whatever you have to go through to know God and to be a part of his kingdom, that's the way you want to go. Don't fear man. Matthew 5 and 10, it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and they persecute you and they say all manner of evil things against you and falsely speak against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Some of the believers were imprisoned and tried as traitors to Rome. The tribulation would happen, but Jesus said it would be brief, only 10 days. The important thing was to stay faithful, standing true to Christ. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. The crown of life is the winner's crown awarded at annual athletic games. And Smyrna was a key participant in the athletic games in the Roman Empire at that time. So the promise that Jesus gave them was especially meaningful to believers because they understood it. Be firm. Hold fast to your faith and your confession in Jesus Christ. Even through the hazards, stay faithful. For at the end of your life, I have a crown of life for you. You will step from this life into the next life, and I will place a crown of glory upon you for all eternity. And people walking around and looking at you in glory with that crown on, they'll say, there goes another courageous martyr, because the martyrs will have the crown of life. Walking through glory. There's another martyr. There's another martyr. There's another martyr. We have a temporary life down here. But soon we'll all graduate to glory. Revelation 12 and 11, it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimonies, and they did not love their lives even to death. My question is, are you willing to follow Christ and forsake everyone and everything? Are you willing to die for Christ? The church in Smyrna was, and Jesus said, I will give you a crown of life.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. If you were moved by today's message, you can download a copy for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org, and click on audio messages. Our new website makes listening and downloading faster and more simple than ever. And if you would like to help keep this radio ministry alive, you can make a gift offering right there online. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is from the Summer Revelation series. It's called, What Did Jesus Say to the Church? This is part two. Now Pastor Steve has a prayer for you.
If you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart or would like to renew your relationship with him, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I am sorry for them and I forsake them now. I invite you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I do believe, and I do confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with me, then Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And I want to encourage you to continue to seek God by talking to him as your best friend. read the Bible. Trust God for all of your needs. He's always there with you. God bless you and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
Well, we hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.